This is Business Beat. Welcome. Here, each week, KBIA takes a look at the business and economic issues facing Mid-Missouri. I'm Christopher Husted. Coming up, we'll visit a shuttered prison trying to drum up visitors. But first, water use has become a hot issue among Midwest farmers. Nebraska and Kansas are two of the top irrigators in the nation. But as Grant Gerlach reports for Harvest Public Media, using so much water now may force some farmers to use less in the future.
Near Grand Island, Nebraska, on a windy afternoon in mid-September, hamburgers sizzle on a hot charcoal grill outside a food stand at Husker Harvest Days, an annual farm show focused on irrigated agriculture. In this water-troubled year, there's plenty to talk about. I asked Skip Kelly from the north central town of Page about the harvest as he's sitting down for lunch. Kelly says when he started running his combine through his non-irrigated cornfields, he wasn't sure what he would find.
The hills were burnt up. There were zero bushels on the hills. Only yields come out of the low ground. Yielded 50 bushels.
That's 50 bushels of corn per acre. Could have been worse, Kelly says. But in fields where he pumps groundwater for irrigation, he could bring in three, maybe four times that.
Well, we've been hearing reports over 200, so a lot of guys are hoping for 185 to 200. That would be very good.
That would be close to normal in one of the driest years on record. With corn prices riding high, that's quite the competitive advantage. Consider that a University of Nebraska-Lincoln study says the drought could shrink corn yields by 40% in dryland fields in Iowa, while yields for irrigated corn in Nebraska may end up only 8% lower than expected. But Mike Clements wonders whether there will be enough water for next year.
When the numbers come in, I think they are going to be astronomical.
Clements is manager of the Lower Republican Natural Resources District, which regulates groundwater irrigation for a portion of south central Nebraska. He says farmers in his area saved up water allowances over the last couple of wet years and then poured it on this summer. The impact is unmistakable when he looks at the Harlan County Reservoir from his office window.
At the beginning of the irrigation season, this reservoir was over a foot into the flood pool. I mean, it was full, plumb full. Now it has dropped about 10 feet.
If the Harlan County Reservoir stays at its current low level, it could trigger restrictions on irrigation in southern Nebraska. Linda Fox of Pratt, Kansas, is already working under water restrictions. Fox farms corn and soybeans, along with some wheat and cotton in south-central Kansas, where she says the drought started last year.
Everybody overpumped. Everybody tried to, finish their crops that they had in the ground. And the state is monitoring us, and yes, we are having to cut back this year.
Lane Letourneau manages water appropriations for the Kansas Division of Water Resources. He says temporary restrictions are possible for farmers like Fox, but many people are avoiding penalties by signing up for new multi-year irrigation accounts. Letourneau says it allows farmers to pump extra water in 2012, but will force them to conserve water later. The goal is to even out losses from sources like the Ogallala Aquifer.
We are seeing huge declines, like right south of Garden City. We saw, 10 feet of decline in, on average just in 1 year.
Normal rain and a snowy winter in the Rockies could quickly refill diminished rivers and reservoirs in Nebraska and Kansas, but underground aquifers are slower to respond. So while irrigation kept many farmers from feeling the worst of the drought in 2012, some farmers may need to give their water sources some time off to keep their edge in dry years ahead. I'm Grant Gerlach, Harvest Public Media.
Now we head a little farther down the line to a festival at the crumbling Missouri State Penitentiary in Jefferson City. KBIA's Lucas Udston tells us that the money earned from tourists at the site doesn't necessarily go into maintenance of the prison.
Well, smells like murder and stinks like sin.
A five-piece band winds its way through an acoustic set of music. Guests slowly shuffle into the Inside the Walls Festival. To the southwest, the main entrance to the Missouri State Penitentiary towers over the festival. Charles Vaughn used to live in a house across the street from the penitentiary. He remembers the 1954 riots. Vaughn remembers his dad and brother were on top of a nearby building with guns.
And there was a big fire going. My mom was keeping me in the house, which upset me because I wanted to get up on the roof. And my mom was piling furniture in front of the front door.
But now the penitentiary looks much lonelier. Its paint peels. Some of its buildings have been torn down. In fact, of those that remain, some parts are even off-limits to tours. This is due to a process Steve Picker calls demolition by neglect. He's the former executive director of the Jefferson City Convention and Visitors Bureau.
This place is 100 years older than Alcatraz, and if you don't do something to preserve it, it's going to be gone. And if you lose this amazing piece of history, it would just be a terrible thing.
Picker says the purpose of the festival put on by the Visitors Bureau is to draw awareness of the penitentiary. It hopes to draw people to Jefferson City, to spend money in its restaurants and sleep in its hotels. But because of how the laws are set up, there's no way to take the money earned at the festival and put it into preservation of the penitentiary. That's because the prison is still owned by the state.
If money is given to the state of Missouri, it goes into the general fund and can be spent anywhere. The problem is nobody wants to give money to be spent anywhere in the state. We already pay taxes.
Spokesperson Ryan Winkler says the Bureau doesn't keep track of the total number of visitors, but does count the amount of visitors at prison tours. Winkler says attendance this year at the festival looks to be up, which could mean the Bureau has accomplished its goal of raising awareness of the penitentiary.
I think that last year was a bit of a struggle just because it was the first event and we're, kind of getting the word out about Inside the Walls.
Pam Harlan is a Jefferson City resident who's toured the prison a few times.
I think the Convention and Visitors Bureau is doing everything they can in order to drum up interest in this.
Harlan says she sees a tremendous historic value in the penitentiary. She says it could be made into a museum to pique more people's interests. But still, Harlan understands the prison has a long way to go.
Oh gosh, it's been here for so long, I don't think it's going to go away anytime soon, but I think it's going to get more expensive to rehabilitate.
This year, the state has received grants to tear down non-historic buildings at the penitentiary. Picker says he's grateful for the money the penitentiary has received.
But that does not repair the roof, and that does not keep the water from pouring into these buildings. And, once water comes into the buildings and things start rotting away, it doesn't take long for them to get to the point where you can't have visitors anymore.
Within the past few years, the penitentiary has seen a surge in the number of visitors. Last year, the penitentiary had nearly 14,000 more guests than it did 3 years ago. What is apparent is that if the numbers continue to grow, someone will have to take the reins of the landmark and spend money to fix it up. Winkler says even though the tours got a late start this year, the Bureau is on track to break another attendance record. Lucas Hudson, KBIA News, Jefferson City.
That's it for Business Beat this week. You can check out these stories at kbia.org. I'm Christopher Husted. Thanks for listening.
I don't know when I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on.